How's the 0% chance looking over there?
It's looking like more than a 0% chance.
She's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, she likes it in there.
I've lived places that didn't necessarily feel like my home. Should I let her out?
Alrighty, guys. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the No Fire Podcast, episode 23 today. Today, we're going to kick it off with a relationship corner segment by Therapy Jeff. One of his TikToks goes over 10 different things that you should ask a question about, not only about your partner, but to yourself and with your partner. So we're going to go over these 10 questions. We're going to talk about each one and see how we feel about them. So question one, what value or belief do we fundamentally disagree on?
I don't know. What's one we disagree on?
Religion.
Yeah. I mean, you just don't believe in religion.
That's the only thing I could think of that we fundamentally disagree on.
I wouldn't even necessarily say it's a disagreement. I feel like you don't have opinions about it. You just kind of whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like people can believe whatever they want to believe, and I just don't have that belief. Not that I look down on it or anything. I just, it's just not part of who I am or how I think.
Yeah, but I mean, you're also not like an atheist, so.
Yeah.
I feel like you're not an extremist, and I'm not like extremely religious. I just have my beliefs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't. Do you want our children to go to church?
I don't even go to church.
Yeah.
I haven't been to church since I was a kid. And I mean, the way that I was raised in a church was a Catholic church,
mm-hmm.
a Hispanic Catholic church. So it's different.
Going to church when I was young was like a traumatic experience for me.
That sounds terrible.
It was. Not like that traumatic, but I just don't remember fondly of going to church as a child.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just incorporated in my life at such a young age that like it was the norm. I mean, I did my first communion, and then when we moved away from Jersey, we kind of like got away from the church. My mom kind of did. And then, I mean, here I am.
Yeah.
It's not like she was ever against it. It's just, we'd go for like Christmas and Easter. That was pretty much it.
Yeah. We had a very sporadic church going experience. My dad always wanted to go and wanted, you know, the family to come with him. And yeah, I don't know. It was just a stressful time for me.
Like of age?
Not a stressful age. I was just a very anxious child, and going and doing something outside of my comfort zone was stressed me out, caused me a lot of anxiety.
I mean, I feel like I'm more that way now than I was as a child. Like, I don't know that I really understood how anxious I was until I was an adult. Like, thinking back on it now, I feel like, I guess I was anxious a lot as a kid, but I just thought that, like, my parents would always say it's like butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to go. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to do said activity.
Yeah.
And they're always like, it's just butterflies. You're going to be fine. And I still hated it throughout the process.
Yeah.
But, you know, now I don't do what I don't want to do.
The beauty of being an adult.
Yeah.
Question two. Do you feel safe being completely vulnerable around me?
Yeah. I mean, I am completely vulnerable around you. I think I'm the most vulnerable around you.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I just, like, personally, I just don't. Not that I don't show my emotions, but
you don't show your emotions.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not comfortable being vulnerable with myself.
Yeah.
I have a constant inner dialogue that is kind of like self-hating and very pessimistic. So I always expect the worst outcomes. Not specifically with you. Like, I know I can come to you with anything and it'll be fine, but
yeah,
that's just my own internal thoughts that I feel like don't allow me to be vulnerable. But I also, I don't know, I get over stuff very quickly. I can just block things out and just decide to not care about things.
It's not healthy, though. That's not how you're supposed to cope.
One thing that did get under my skin, so I posted a YouTube short, right, of one of our clips.
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking about, in the aspect of a relationship, how do you deal with burnout?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about it in the aspect of a relationship. And somebody commented and said that our generation is in trouble because we shouldn't be, like, basically saying that we're delusional because we're dealing with burnout and that our generation is in trouble.
Our generation is in trouble. Yeah, not for that reason, though, because the economy sucks. Everything's expensive. None of us can afford to buy houses. When we do buy houses, our mortgage is ridiculous. We stay in these jobs we don't want to stay in because they make enough money to pay the things that we have to pay for. Like, yeah, our generation's fucked, but not because of that.
Not only that, like, there's the world has completely changed since whoever this commenter is obviously older. I would imagine they're probably only like 40, so it's not like they're that much older than us, but they look at us and they're like, oh, these kids are in their early 20s, which we're not. But so many things have changed. Yeah. The world is a completely different place, and age doesn't have, like, age has no bearing on whether you get burnt out or not. Getting burnt out is from trying to do too many things that you can't necessarily juggle all at once, but still wanting to pursue them because you want a better future. You want to be able to save. You want to be able to buy a house. You don't want to stay in a dead-end job that you don't want to work at, but you do because it pays your bills. That's what fucking burnout is. It doesn't have an age on it.
Yeah. Trust me. We've been burnt out for a while, but we just still can't convince ourselves to take the time.
Well, yeah, because it's almost like taking a break from what we're doing would be sets giving up.
No, not I feel like it sets you back.
There is no, like, I don't, for, like, the specific things that I'm doing, there is, like, no taking a break. You don't just take a break. That's just, like, giving up, basically. Yeah. If I stopped posting this podcast, like, that's just giving up. That's not taking a break. It's taking one thing off my list, but that's giving up on this.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, taking a break as in, like, not doing all of these things that we do on a day-to-day basis and just, I don't know what people do if you're not doing something. Like, I want to, when I say take a break, I want to take away from, like, my everyday chaos. But, like, I don't know what I would do without my everyday chaos.
Like, I don't know, just taking a break, just, yeah, I get what you mean by, like, sets you behind. So, like, okay, say you take vacation off your job. Not only are you losing money, you're not saving any extra money.
That part.
So you're losing that money. And then also, are you also taking a break from your house responsibility, doing chores, doing laundry, probably taking not care of the dogs? So
you can't break from all of them at one time. That would literally push your life.
You're still
going
to fill your day with other stuff. You're going to be like, oh, now I have the opportunity to deep clean my bathroom, or I have the opportunity to do, you know, groom ghost or whatever the case is. You're going to fill it with another job, another task, another duty that you have to do. That is just our mindset, though.
There
is no taking a break.
We should.
So you have to learn to
turn it off.
No, figure out a system that doesn't get you burned out.
I haven't figured that out yet.
Well, we'll work on that.
I feel like I've been tired for a month.
I feel like I've been tired for years, but just got to keep chugging along.
I'm a chugging.
All right, back on topic. Number three. Does this relationship challenge you to grow to be a better person and partner?
Yes. I am very explosive. Like, I was in the past, and not like intentionally explosive. I like react on instinct, I guess. Like, in every situation, fight or flight is kicking in. And I feel like I had to learn how to, like, calm that down, because that's not the type of person you are. You're very, like, cool, calm, and collective all the time. And I also slap when I'm happy. That's,
you mean
more of a physical thing,
physically assault.
Yeah, more physically. I had to learn how to not do that to you too, because every time something exciting happens. But my brothers were like that with me, so I feel like that's where I got it from. It just stayed with me through childhood.
Yeah,
excited, slap, slap.
For me, I feel like I've become more of, like, more myself almost. So, I don't know. In previous relationships, I would, like, hold on to things for longer, and I would replay them over and over in my head until, like, I just had, like, this sick feeling in my stomach. And, I mean, obviously, you haven't done anything that's made me feel that way, but I'm able to not only let stuff go, but just realize that in 30 minutes, if I don't overthink this, then I'm going to be okay with it and I'll figure out a solution.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've matured a lot during our relationship. We started dating when I was 21. So I've changed as a person.
Yeah. I feel like you've gotten more comfortable in your skin.
Yeah.
Overall.
And I don't care as much about what people think about me. I still care, and that's still an issue with myself. But I feel like being in a relationship with you has taught me not to care as much and just to try to enjoy life a little bit more. Just be more genuine.
I don't care about people. I don't care about their mentality. I don't care what they think. Like, I don't know. I don't know why. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm glad that that's rubbed off on you.
It's rubbed off on me.
You've made me more soft. Like, I feel like I'm more considerate, even like the way that I wake you up in the morning, because I used to just, honey, like, shake you and wake you up and you'd be like, what the fuck, like, is it an earthquake? And now I'm like more gentle the way I wake you up, and you just wake up so much happier. You just open your little eyes and you look so peaceful when you wake up. Before, you used to look like, why the fuck are you waking me up right now? But I mean, I was a lot more rough. Like, physically, emotionally, I was rough around the edges in the beginning.
Well, you'd be mad that you were awake, so you would wake me up out of anger.
I don't do that now. I let you sleep, looking like a little angel, and I'll come out here, get everybody situated, let them out, even though they're annoying the shit out of me.
Yeah.
But you go to sleep later than I do.
Yeah, I think not only have I matured as a person, but I've matured as a partner as well. Okay, number four. Do we have a friendship base that feels fun and playful?
Yeah. We talk shit every day.
Yeah, we do.
That's like our love language.
We can be goofy with each other.
We laugh every day, whether it's intentional or not, but we do.
Yeah. I'm sorry I locked you out today.
No, fuck you. Then I'm banging on the door, and then, like, I know you don't answer the door for anybody.
It's not like I was just sitting out here just ignoring the door.
I understand that, but I thought you were joking, because I literally just moved the plant right over and walked right in, so I came right behind you.
I didn't even know that I had locked the door.
I can tell.
Completely just...
Yep. Locked me out.
Number five, are you open to experimenting in the bedroom?
Yeah.
Well, I have to talk more about number five off camera. Number six. If our trust takes a hit, do you think we would be able to successfully rebuild it back to the same level?
Oof. I feel like it depends what happens. Like, yeah. I've learned so much about myself from my previous relationships that I know that, like, most of the time, once it gets broken, it's like really hard to get it back. And me being the type of person that I am, like, I don't want to say that I'd always hold it over your head, but I probably would.
Yeah, I think that's definitely like a tough one. Obviously, I think it does depend on what actually happened to, like, break that trust. Yeah. Obviously, it has to be something like monumental enough that it breaks your trust to the point where it's like causing an issue in the relationship. I mean, I think that we could build the trust back, but I think that would be something that would take a really long time.
Yeah, I agree.
But I mean, relationship takes work, and I think we have a very strong foundation. So if anybody could do it, I think we could.
Yeah, fair. Just don't cheat on me.
But I won't break your trust, so. Do we support each other's long-term goals?
Yeah. I feel like we support each other in everything.
Yeah.
There's really not anything that neither of us is like on board for each other for, you know?
And I think our values are very similarly aligned, that what's like a long-term goal for you and a long-term goal for me heads us in the same direction.
Yeah.
They may be completely separate mm-hmm. and like our own goals, but they all head in the same
they aspect all align. Of,
yeah, you know, being happier in life and being fulfilled and building a future. See how long it lasts.
Just enough to get through the episode.
Yeah. Number 8, if you're having a stressful day, do you look forward to being with your partner?
Yeah. I get so overstimulated by other people and the shit that comes along with them, especially in our job,
mm-hmm.
that when I've had a stressful day, all I want to do is come home and be with you.
Yeah, I feel like we have a very calm, like a calming like effect on each other.
Yeah.
That coming home is like a safe space.
Yeah.
And I can just kind of decompress.
That's been a big thing for both of us, is like having a safe space, and like home is our safe space 100%. Like I've lived places that didn't necessarily feel like my home.
All right. Number 9. Are you good at having uncomfortable conversations together?
I feel like we are.
I mean,
it's hard to bring up, but I think we're fine when it starts.
I'm not comfortable having uncomfortable conversations, but I am most comfortable having any conversation with you.
Fair.
Like, no matter what the context is, I'd rather have that conversation with you than anybody else.
Yeah.
Number 10. Does this relationship contribute to your overall happiness and well-being?
Absolutely.
I 100% agree as well. I feel like I've become just a more successful and happier individual in this relationship. More comfortable with myself. Just every aspect of life is just a little bit better with you.
Honey, I love you.
I love you too.
You're going to have to cut that out. They're not going to hear that.
I didn't cut it out last time, but it's not like anybody's fucking watching it anyways. So for those of you who are watching, go ahead and sit down with your partner. Go through those questions. I think it can be a great relationship building experience. This is from Therapy Jeff on TikTok. He has a lot of great content on there. He is, I believe, a relationship therapist, and he has some good stuff. Check him out. Do you think you're ready to have children?
I think no one's ever ready to have children.
What? So, like, I'll break it down. Like, emotionally, do you think you're ready to have children?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I feel more so like my age tells me that I need to have kids, because I don't want to be an old mom.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm already 31. So I play out, like, you know, the timelines for kids and where they are and where I am. I feel like my age has a lot to do with it, because I feel like I'm getting old, and I don't want to be an old mom.
Yeah.
I feel like, obviously, like, when it does happen, we're going to go, unless we plan for it, you know what I mean? Like, unless we, even then, I would be... My damn brain, dude. I can't get them out. I can't get my thoughts out. I would still be nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that's just what it's like to be a first-time parent. Like, I know that, like, I could love my child wholeheartedly. I know that I could be a good mom. I know I'd be supportive. Like, I know I could do it now at this age. Like, I don't know if I mean, it's, you're never going to be ready. It is what it is. Like,
yeah.
But I guess now I feel like I'm more ready than I would have been at like 21.
Yeah.
But who's not, I'm not saying that anybody at 21 can't have a baby. You can do whatever you want. If you're ready, you're ready. But 31, I think my ovaries are more ready than I am.
Yeah. What about financially?
Financially, that's stressful, but that's what it's going to be having a kid. It's going to be financially stressful.
Unless I'm rich. Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone wants to be in a better financial situation than they're in. But I think we're both in a better financial situation now than we've ever been in before.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, we're both smart enough to make the right financial decisions. Obviously, we'd like to own a home, but that's obviously still a financial goal. But that doesn't change whether we have a child or not. That would still be a goal.
No. I'd like to be at least engaged before we have a baby. Like, what is that? Like, not physically, but like, we're talking about like the levels of it.
the levels of
being ready for a kid.
You need that,
like, financially
from me.
Huh?
You need that commitment from me.
Yeah.
You don't think you have it already?
I feel like we've been in a relationship for long enough that, yeah, but at the same time, like, yeah, I still want that.
You need the ring.
I need the commitment, honey. I need the commitment.
You need the financial commitment of buying a ring.
The ring is not even that expensive that I want, first of all. So don't go there.
In the aspect of what? I'm very stingy with my money.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm very stingy with my money.
Yeah.
But
it's like a down payment on a car.
It's like, yeah.
After taxes and everything?
What do you think taxes are?
The ring that you want after taxes is like $5,000.
I thought it was $5,000 before taxes. So that's we're doing even better than I thought.
Maybe then it's $6,000 after taxes.
Yeah, maybe. Fine.
Not that, like, in the aspect of engagement rings is that expensive. It's just a lot of money to spend.
It is a lot of money to spend. But in the grand scheme of your whole life, honey, it's not that much money.
You trying to convince me to buy it?
No. I mean, you can buy it whenever you're ready.
Yeah, I would say emotionally I'm ready. Financially, obviously, I always want to be in a better spot financially. But I mean, even financially, I think I'm ready. Just got to figure out how many kids you're willing to have.
I don't think I want more than two. I really just want one.
Twins. A girl and a boy.
I don't want to carry twins. I don't want to carry twins. I am so, like, self-conscious as it is, like, from stopping the Adderall, putting that weight on. Imagine how I'm going to be when I have a baby. Jesus. I'm already stressed.
Yeah. Well, we got time. Nothing but time.
Yeah. My ovaries will tell us that. Maybe I'll get a fertility test for us.
She's a 10, but she smokes a pack of cigarettes a day.
Ew. That's gross. That will bring it down to a 2 for me.
A 2?
A pack of cigarettes a day? A pack of cigarettes a day. That is disgusting.
I mean, it's a shitload of cigarettes, but I think like 6.
No.
Everything else about this person is perfect, except they smoke a pack of cigarettes a day.
That's a big not. That's a no.
I would say it's very unattractive, bad habit. Smells gross.
Looks gross. Your teeth take a hit. No, thank you.
There's been this big uproar online, and I don't know if you've seen any TikToks about it or anything on social media, but Chipotle portion sizes have been heavily criticized lately.
What?
Chipotle portion sizes?
Yeah, I heard you, but like, why?
Because everybody says they're getting smaller. And I don't disagree.
Oh,
so,
Lord.
Here's the thing. If you go into a Chipotle, you are more likely to get a heftier portion than if you place an order online.
Okay.
10 times out of 10, this is the case. When I place an order online, unless I add extra beans, extra rice, they're giving you the bare minimum that, like, I've come home and opened the bowls before, and I'm shocked at what they look like. I got a bowl the other day, and I got a double chicken bowl, and I took a picture of it because it was abysmal. But yeah, I'm a firm believer that Chipotle portions just vary wildly depending on who's scooping your food. So I think that the solution would be to either weigh out each portion or get measuring cups of some sort that you would like even,
like,
off
measuring
at the top.
Portion thing as you go.
Yeah, because they use a spoon, and like some people, you get like a heaping spoonful. Sometimes you get a nice shallow spoonful, and it's just
I've always thought that it varied. I didn't think it was that significant.
But like, I track my calories, so I feel like it's just like one day I'll get a Chipotle bowl, and the Chipotle bowl that I track is 685 calories. Sometimes I know that it's way more than that. But how am I supposed to track it? Pull each little portion out and then weigh it out and figure out how many calories for what ingredients going on? Absolutely not. I'm not going to do that. So Chipotle, step up your game. Get some damn measuring cups in here. Or get a scale or something. Like, there's got to be some way to make it more even.
You would think so.
Because some days I'm getting 4 ounces of chicken. The next I'm getting 8 and I'm not even ordering double. I just want to know how many calories it is. But I love Chipotle. I go there all the time. I eat there all the time. I love their food.
I can't do Chipotle all the time.
Yeah. I could just eat the same meal over and over again, so.
I try. It's hard.
It's just who I am.
I burn stuff out for me, then I can't eat it.
I have a Reddit relationship post to read. My 25 female boyfriend, 40 male, got rid of my collection without asking me, but says he didn't do it to hurt me. How do I get past this? We've been together for a year and a half, and I recently found out that I'm pregnant with our first child. Since I was 12, I've collected a particular type of dolls and associated merchandise, and I'm really passionate about it. I had a pretty extensive collection after 13 years. Obviously, now that I'm not 12 anymore, I don't play with them, but I have a couple shelves in my office, a few of my favorites in the bedroom, and a few on the bookshelf in the living room. He has a room for his hobby stuff, too. He has said before he thought they were more for kids, but at the same time, he bought me dolls, even helping me find rare ones at times, so I thought he came around to them, and I was surprised to find, after going to visit my dad for a few days, that he had gotten rid of my entire collection when I came back. Everything is gone. I haven't stopped crying since I got back, and we've had our biggest fight. He said he made the decision because now that we're having a baby, it's time for me to grow up and get rid of them. But he thought it would be easier on me if he did it when I wasn't there. He says his intentions were good, but I'm so devastated. I've never been more upset in my entire life. My question is, how can I get over this and move past it and stop feeling like this was a betrayal, since he said he meant it with good intentions? I've just never felt this sad in my whole life.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, I don't care what your hobby is. Like, even if it's childish, it's not your partner's responsibility or even right, for that matter, to just go and throw your things away.
I would be livid. Like, 13 years of collecting something, she really had a passion for it.
He bought some of them.
Yeah, well, he's an asshole, so what he did doesn't matter. The fact that she collected them for so long.
No, I'm saying that he went out and bought them because he knew that she liked them. That just, it makes zero sense.
Well, it makes it worse. Like, you fueled her addiction to just throw them away.
Yeah, even if it's not an addiction. Like, she said it's
her hobby.
Her hobby.
Fueled her hobby to throw them away.
Like, yeah, it might be weird, but it's just not his right, not his place. Like, that's not something that he should have done.
It's obviously not weird enough if he went and bought her some.
Well, it sounds manipulative that he threw them away while she was gone and then said that he did that because
it would be easier for her.
No, you just wanted to get rid of them. You didn't want them in your house anymore. That's a conversation that you sit down and you talk to your partner about. It's not something you do behind their back.
I wonder if it's those like creepy porcelain dolls.
Then you shouldn't have started the relationship in the first part because that person is insane.
No. Yeah, I know. I just think it's funny. Like, the thinking about those dolls, I had two aunts that had those dolls all over their houses, and they were creepy.
No, thank you. Yeah. Now, that's one thing I can get on board with. Dolls have spirits.
Don't start.
And I don't fuck with that.
Dolls have spirits.
But yeah, I read that one and I was like, oh, this is no, like, you shouldn't even need advice for this. This is just a fucked up thing for your partner to do. And now you're pregnant with this child and you're in this relationship and yikes.
That's sad.
Regardless of what the item was, your collection of treasured things.
They're just so disrespectful.
Yeah, incredibly disrespectful. Well, anyways, guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the No Fire Podcast. We post every Thursday the video form on YouTube, the audio format on Spotify, or anywhere else that you like to listen to podcasts. Go ahead and Google us, NO-FIRE podcast, and we'll pop up somewhere. You can listen to us, watch us, view us, subscribe to us, and we'll be here next Thursday. Thanks for tuning in.